The scientists of today are creating the next big thing. On the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast, get an early listen to what tomorrow has in store. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, March 21st. I'm Erin Delmore for the Wall Street Journal, filling in for J.R. Whalen. What's harder to get into than an Ivy League university? Some apprenticeships. Would-be college students are increasingly choosing them over traditional four-year universities to train for careers in insurance, banking, IT, and other white-collar professions.
It's kind of popping up everywhere because the need to get more skilled workers into the labor market is intense.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin about why apprenticeship models are taking off right now and why more students are choosing an alternative investment in their futures. That's after the break.
Hear the top breaking news, plus the latest on business, politics, and more with the new WSJ headline skill for your Alexa smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, enable WSJ headlines," to get started.
Some apprenticeships are harder to get into than an Ivy League university. More and more students are choosing them over traditional four-year colleges. I'm Erin Delmore, and joining me is Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, thank you for being with us.
Thanks very much for the invitation.
So, Doug, tell me more about these apprenticeship programs. How do they work?
Mostly students will take classes, often in community college, but not always, sometimes in a four-year college. And they'll be working at the same time, and they'll have a mentor at work. So they'll be learning a trade. Traditionally, the trade's been in construction or something blue-collar, but more and more we're seeing these pop up in white-collar industries and insurance and banking and IT. And so they're going to school, on the one hand, and learning the theory about how an industry works. And then the second half of the week, they're in an office building or at a construction site, and they're actually performing what they're learning, and they're getting paid for it.
Okay, so you're saying that we're seeing these apprenticeship models move into more of a white-collar space, insurance, banking, IT. Where else are we seeing them? Which industries and which parts of the country?
They're really spread all over. And what's interesting about this phenomena is that it's very organic. It's being driven in high schools. It's being driven from corporations. It's being driven within the trades. And the government is also behind some of it. So it's kind of popping up everywhere because the need to get more skilled workers into the labor market is intense, and there's just a skills mismatch, which is prompting people to think a little bit more creatively about how to do this and do it quickly.
Doug, should we take all of this as a sign that traditional four-year colleges are losing a bit of their appeal?
Yeah, they're facing headwinds, and they have been for a number of years, probably since the Great Recession. The cost of a university degree continues to outstrip earnings. And more importantly, I think the risk of going into debt for a degree that may or may not pay off and that you may or may not get, only about 60% of kids who start a four-year degree graduate in 6 years. That means that you could be laying out $100,000, $200,000 for a degree that lands you a job that you don't need a degree for. And that's scaring a lot of people, and it's prompting them to reevaluate their options.
You know, it's not lost on me that these young workers entering the workforce now spent a bulk of their high school years during the pandemic learning remotely. I'm wondering if that turned them off to the idea of investing more in in-person education.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. There's been a great disengagement from classrooms. Kids are not plugged in the way they used to. We're seeing it in terms of testing, and what students know when they graduate high school is significantly less than what they did before the pandemic. Part of that's just because kids are disengaged, and so to want to spend another few years in school is a bit of a stretch now for this cohort of kids.
What's wild to me is that by your reporting, we're seeing acceptance rates that rival Ivy League schools for these apprenticeships, aren't we?
Yes. One of the programs got 1,500 applications this year for 100 spots. So that's like a 6.6% acceptance rate, which is about the same as Cornell University.
There's something you're tapping on that's at play in the wider job market here. Employers are struggling to find and retain talent. It's a tight labor market. And it sounds like with this model, they can put an attractive offer on the table. Some paid work, some paid school. And they can reach more people by dropping out degree requirements. So tell me more about how the employers you spoke with are seeing these apprenticeship opportunities.
From the perspective of the corporations, this can be a really good model because they get trained, smart young kids in the door at a relatively low price. They don't have to hire adults who are going to ask them for much more money. So it's a good source of kind of cheap labor for a lot of these industries. And because the students come in, they build relationships there, their retention rate, at least in the early going, is much stronger than other folks. So it works from the perspective of the corporations, at least that's what it looks like right now. So I think that's another reason why we're more likely to see these continue to grow.
I'm curious whether this serves workers long term, though. What do we know about their career trajectories after the apprenticeship is over?
So this is the argument against apprenticeships. And the idea is that if you go to college and you learn to think critically and broadly and to synthesize information, then you're essentially able to learn how to learn and you're more adaptable going forward. If you get a narrow education with a less broad skill set, and that skill is no longer deemed important or valuable in the marketplace, you could be a bit out of luck. So there's some research looking at apprentice programs internationally that shows that workers in their 40s and 50s begin to sort of fade out. If they don't reskill, then they struggle. And a lot of them leave the labor market. And that's the risk that the apprentice programs take. The counter argument to that is that we're entering a period now where it's never going to be enough to stop learning at 21 or 22 years old because the labor market, because technology is moving so quickly, because AI is breathing down everybody's neck, everybody's going to have to continue to reskill all the time. And so whether you start as an apprentice or a college graduate, you're going to have to keep learning. And so as long as you accept that, it's not a bad way to start.
Doug, you spoke to a few people, most of them young, about choosing apprenticeships over four-year colleges. So what do our listeners need to know about making that calculation themselves?
So there's a financial calculation and there's a psychological calculation, I think, that are in play. And part of this bumps up against class. If you come from a family or from a community where college is expected, it's very hard to say, I'm not going to go to college, because that for two generations has been the pathway towards success. This is changing, I think, more in the working classes and the lower middle classes, where college has become such a risk that an apprenticeship looks much more interesting. But it's sort of creeping up the class ladder, I think, is what's happening. And one of the professors I spoke to said, the prestige shift will happen when apprentices begin to occupy the C-suite. And that's happening in Europe because there's a vocational model in Europe now, and you can do very well going this way. So in a few years, there's going to be kids who started out as apprentices, continue their education, rose up through the ranks, and are running these companies. And then young people are going to see that the CEO was an apprentice. And so if it worked for him or her, it can work for them. And I think that will begin to shift the thinking in the country around this.
That was reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, thanks for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Erin Delmore for The Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Jack Howe, host of a podcast called Barron Streetwise. Critics have called it about investing mostly and roughly 20 minutes an episode. We recently dug into questions like how long will high inflation last and should you buy tanking tech stocks like Netflix and Rivian? Listen to Barron Streetwise on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.